The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Did you ever ask, what in the world is God doing?
I was feeling like, God, how can you think I'm strong enough to handle this? And that was really when my faith took a transition, because God went from being the Santa Claus God who answers your prayers and gives you what you want to the living God who sometimes has plans for our lives that are different than ours, bigger than ours.
Lori Pulitz Short, next.
I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. You know, we have wonderfully gifted people who are gifted by God, and they are gifts from God, we believe, to you. And those of you who watch us and support Life Outreach, you become a gift from God to them in that you give them an opportunity to do what God has gifted them to do, what He's called them to do. And we have one of those gifted people who has written a book, and this is an interesting title. Now listen to it. Faith, Doubt, and God's Mysterious Timing. Now, here is a woman that is known as one of the great encouragers. People have said to me that I'm one of the greatest encouragers they've ever met. And people who watch this on television say, you encourage us. Your guests encourage us. You're encouragement to me. I look for ways to encourage people. I look for people who need to be encouraged. We're here to encourage you. We also encourage you to be a blessing to others, because that gives you incredible joy. Being a blessing is a blessing to you and certainly to God. Well, we've got someone who's going to bless you. Faith, Doubt, and God's Mysterious Timing. You're going to wonder about that. Well, she's going to explain it to you. Her name is Lori Short. Pulitz is her name that a lot of you might know her by. And really and truly, for her to have that name Short late in life, which wasn't a short time, is a part of her unbelievable journey, because she was ready to be married and have a family. Well, we'll just let Lori tell you her story. Lori, it's a joy for us to have you on Life Today.
Thank you so much for having me here. Yes, it was quite a journey, because I was already single for a lot longer than I wanted to be. Had people all over the country praying for God, please bring her a husband. And so,
You were out speaking, probably, yes, and talked about the greatness of God and all the different things. You were actually encouraging people then, when you were really needing a prayer answer.
Yes. And then, so when I finally got engaged, I was 42. And you can imagine the joy in my family. Everybody, I had two bridal showers so fast, you can't believe it. Bought my wedding dress. And then just a couple of months short of my wedding day, my fiance, who was a Marine reservist, got deployed. And so he was going to be gone 9 months. And I thought, well, I've waited this long, I can wait a little bit longer. And unbeknownst to me, in the course of his deployment, his ex-wife began to have second thoughts about their divorce and was writing him. And so when he came home, they remarried and we broke up. And I always say it's a great story, unless you're the girl engaged to the guy. But truly,
but you are glad they got back together,
because that was a supernatural work of God. That's exactly right, James, because that's what was so confusing to me. From God, is that He would essentially use me in so many ways to get them back together, because I think I made Him more appealing to her again. But I have to say that I was feeling like, God, how can you think I'm strong enough to handle this at this point in my life when I wanted this so badly? And that was really when my faith took a transition, because God went from being the Santa Claus God who answers your prayers and gives you what you want to the living God who sometimes has plans for our lives that are different than ours, bigger than ours. And what was interesting about that time period is I was speaking, and I was continuing to speak even after that heartbreak, and a lot of people knew I was engaged.
Did you refer to that heartbreak when you were speaking?
Well, that's what happened to me. I developed what I now call the middle of the story theology, which is the risk to tell your story before the end. when you're still holding on to God and you don't know what he's going to do. And because I went before God and I said, how can I tell my story? People are going to walk away from you. They're not going to be encouraged to come to you if I tell this terrible story of what happened to me. And the exact opposite happened, because when I shared my story, and at first people would be like, oh no. But then at the end, when I would say, but you know what? God's not through with my story. Yes, I don't know if I'll ever get married, and I don't know what he has in mind, but I know one thing. I got up this morning and I'm still breathing. Yes. And God isn't through with my story. Amen. And I'm choosing to hold on to him in the hard times. And I will tell you, James and Betty, that was a testimony, because I think people live in the middle of the story. Well, God wasn't through with my story, and ultimately I did get married at the ripe young age of 49, every girl's dream. But I always say that God's dreams for our lives usually are bigger than ours, and they involve more people. And this was a package deal. My husband had a son, and his son's mom moved to Australia. Mm. So I actually got to come in. He was 6 years old when we wow. married, and we raised him up. But what was interesting is after my engagement broke up, I got a call from a church in Santa Barbara, California. It was actually a pastor that I knew who was a youth pastor who had planted this church. And he called me up. He thought I had gotten married to the first guy. And he said, congratulations. I said, nope. And so he said, but that's actually not why I'm calling. I'm calling because we were praying about this new position at our church and your name came up. And so I wasn't looking for a job, but I always say sometimes we're so focused on the door that we're looking to see open that we miss the door that is opening. And sometimes God takes us through one door that leads to another door that might actually lead to the door you want, but it's just a different route. And you have to be sure that you're open to looking for the ways that God is working in your life, not just the ways he's not. And that move to Santa Barbara, and by the way, right before I left, they told me there were no single people in Santa Barbara. And, but, you know, God was calling me there, and sure enough, there was one single guy. And at 49, I did get married, and I saw then that that whole story was, I actually was in the middle of the story when my engagement broke up. But I think that I learned so many lessons through that faith transition of God not doing what you want, that you're not telling God what to do. He's leading and guiding you to do the things in your life.
Were you ministering in that new position?
Yeah.
Did that stay as a assignment for quite a while?
Yes, I was there for 10 years full time. I still live there, and now I'm speaking and writing again, which I was doing before I went up there.
So you were doing the ministry you went there to do, but
that's
this part that you didn't think would happen miraculously did happen.
Yes.
And that's what you're saying, if we would just follow his will, when it looks like ever is going to happen.
That's right.
The miracle can happen. And
that's
now then, y'all have been married, I guess. Did you get married fairly shortly after moving there?
About 3 years.
Okay.
So I did think when I first got there, okay, where is he? But it was later. And, you know, it was an amazing blessing in my life, but you're exactly right. One of the lessons that I've learned throughout my life and looking back, and I always say the one advantage to growing old is that you can actually see so much more of what God is doing in your life. And some stories that you thought were one thing end up being another thing altogether. And so I look back on even my single years, and even though I desired to be married, I still got up and I lived my life and I did ministry at that time. And now I look back, now that I am married, and I'm so grateful that I didn't waste that time. There were so many stories from that time in my life. But the reason that I wrote this book is because I discovered in looking at some of the lesser known places in Scripture, which I love to do, that so many people in the Bible went through just exactly what you and I go through. And they have so many insights for us in the parts of their stories that we don't always focus on. For instance, I talk about waiting. I think a lot of us, that's part of the title. You know, my publisher said, well, how about God's good timing? And I said, well, I think we know it's good, but sometimes it's really mysterious the way God works. I always say that he always, he never does things faster than I would like him to. I think his timeline is so much broader and bigger mm-hmm. than ours. But I think about, for instance, Moses. We always hear about the young Moses in Pharaoh's palace and the older Moses at the burning bush. But there were 40 years in between when he left Egypt and he was in the wilderness. And I'm interested in that time because I think a lot of people live those long years of waiting. What are you doing? And he even named one of his sons Alien, so you knew how he felt. But you look back on that time, and he was a shepherd in the wilderness. And I think about all the secrets that God was showing him in that wilderness that he would need to know later because he was going to be leading people in that same wilderness. And I think God is sometimes doing things in our life that we don't know we need, that we will need later on. And then also that Jethro, he became his father-in-law, as you know, because he gave his daughter Zipporah to him. And Jethro became very instrumental in Moses' life later because he gave him his best lesson on leadership. And so these things that happen in this time of 40 years of just thinking, I'm probably done, because it wasn't until he was 80 that God gave him his ministry. I think God shows us that he is working so much in our waits. So I think these lessons that we get, and I always say that this book can be read devotionally, so you can read one at a time, that I think gives us such encouragement in our own lives. So there's just a lot of stories in
there. It's about the journey, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, and the things that might seem insignificant
yes.
along the way,
yes.
but they're true treasures that
yes.
God doesn't want us to miss
no.
because they help build our character and for what he's got planned ahead for us.
That's exactly yeah. right. That's exactly right. And, you know, one of the big lessons in the book is that sometimes we're doing something that feels really small. I know a lot of people feel like, well, what I'm doing isn't very important, but you may be doing something that's going to make a huge
Absolutely.
Difference in the bigger story. And wherever you are, even if you feel like you're in a place you don't want to be, God can still use that in amazing ways. And I think we have a couple of examples of that, one being Paul. He spent so much time in prison when he would have loved to have been out visiting churches, and he kept getting thrown in jail because of evangelizing. And yet, what did he do? He sat in jail and he said, you know, what can I do? I can write letters. That's all I can do. I'll just write letters. But I'm sure what he thought was, I wish I could be out speaking to the churches because these letters, I mean, they're encouraging, but what's God gonna do with them? And as we know, the Bibles that we hold, half the New Testament mm-hmm. is filled with those letters. So if Paul hadn't gone to prison, he never would have written the letters, and he had such a much bigger influence from his prison sentence mm-hmm. when you think back. And that's what's the interesting way that God works, I think.
If we would really mean it, we say, God, use my life for your glory and your kingdom mm-hmm. purpose. And know that we want his kingdom purpose to be accomplished. I've made a commitment to the Lord in the later years of my life because really God has moved me around. You know, I didn't have a good childhood. I didn't have a father. My mother was raped, and I'm the product of that rape when the doctor didn't abort me. So I've had a lot of rough places in my life. But I realized that God worked miracles. And one time my assistant said, I wish you'd have stayed in that home that they were going to adopt you. And then your mother took you out of it and took you into poverty. And she said, no telling what that would have meant if you'd have stayed there. And I said, no, I think it would have been different because the loneliness and the poverty and the pain and all that I saw moving around, I saw people who were not loved, who did not have good homes, who were hurting, who were not chosen, who were rejected. And I saw poverty for what it really was. And I saw that need, and I realized that miracles of God and his love can touch that and make the difference because that's what ultimately changed me. So I think that in those difficult moments, God was actually working something into me showing me the needs of others that only he could meet. And the Father is the one that directs our steps and takes us through these times.
That's
right. He can lift us out of a valley. He can lift us out of a pit, but he can turn a very difficult situation into a miracle not only for us, but for others, which is what happened with you.
I think
if we could say this, and this is where I am now, and I could wish everyone would join me. I wish you would join me on this. I've said to the Lord, you care about our dreams. You tell us, delight in me, and I'll give the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
All parents care about their children's dreams. They want it to be worthy dreams, but they want them to be fulfilled. God, I want you to know something. I want your dream, your vision fulfilled. Right. And I can't tell you, it was as though I could see a father smiling. I believe you mean that. Mm-hmm. I have a dream. Mm-hmm. I dream of the world seeing a family that looks like me, of seeing my son revealed in his body in supernatural unity, where they can see him. In other words, he's coming for a bride adorned in glory. Mm-hmm. I think he wants the world to see his glory on his body mm-hmm. before his son comes for that bride. Mm-hmm. And I'm living. See, in other words, I think that's the Father's dream. He wants the world to behold his glory in the church. He wants him to see him in the family. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I do also think that he has dreams for each of us as mm-hmm. part of the big story that Absolutely. He's writing. And we play a part in this eternal story that he's writing. One of the big themes in the book is that we are really living just a part of our story mm-hmm. here on earth. Mm-hmm. And if we really knew that, we would want to live it mm-hmm. with courage, even the dark times mm-hmm. that we know God is using, yeah. but they're hard to live. One of the examples of kind of the micro story and the macro story is Ruth, because, you know, she just wanted to help her mother-in-law. She mm-hmm. was in grief. Yes. Her sister-in-law was in grief. The mother-in-law is in grief. They had all lost their husbands. And she said that she was going to go with her mm-hmm. mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law said, don't go with me because you'll never find someone to marry and you have a chance. I'm too old. I'm going to go back to my family, the Israelites. And she said, no, where you go, I will mm-hmm. go. Your people will be mm-hmm. my people, your God will be my God. And she followed her thinking this was the end and this is all I'm going to be doing, caring for her. And she meets Boaz and ends up one of five women in the genealogy of Jesus for making that decision, making that small decision just to meet the need in front of her. And so I just feel like we don't really know what God is doing at any given moment with these decisions that we're making. And even coming into this marriage and marrying my husband, Jerry, and raising Jordan, and he is now 20 and he's going into the Marine Corps wow. in a month. But his journey has completely been transformed because the two of us came together and raised him in the church, and he chose to get baptized in the middle of COVID in the ocean. And it was just so beautiful at 17 that he would make this choice. And now he's on the worship band at our church and working with the junior hires. And it's not just because of me coming into Jerry's life, but you see that all these pieces came together, and now who knows what Jordan's going to do? Because as he moves on into the Marine Corps and begins to influence other people, and just as you were talking about your kids and your grandkids, we don't know at any given moment who we're touching that's going to touch others, that's going to make a huge difference. And sometimes I think the stage in heaven looks very different than the stage on earth. And the quieter, smaller stories that are happening all over, people that are heroically loving and serving and giving, are the ones that are going to be center stage, I think.
I think what you've written and shared here will be a tremendous inspiration, 30 biblical insights. Mm-hmm. And I think that you found your way. You were doing what you had opportunity to do, and God didn't forget about your vision and mm-hmm. your dream. And you continued to do His will and love others and what happened.
Yes.
And if we'll put Him first, I think if we'll lose our lives in His purpose, we'll be amazed at what's going to happen to the people we touch and then what He does in our own lives. And by the way, Betty and I have said it over and over, we think the viewers of Life Today are the greatest mm-hmm. people on earth. You want to know why? Because you notice the least of these and you touch them with the love of God. And you're going to see, and I know you love Tammy Trent. I know you love our son, Randy. I know you love what we do at Life. Well, you're going to glimpse that right now in one of the most exciting ministry outreaches that any of us will ever be involved in. I want you to watch closely and just rejoice over what God's love through people like you is doing all over the world. Watch.
Do some other. So this is their water source, I'm assuming.
तो ये जो है यहाँ पे आप लोग ये पानी का पीते हैं भी ये पानी.
This is my first encounter here, and I can already tell that there is so much to be done. This is where they have to come every day, all the way down here to get their water. This is his only source of water.
Well, you see, this is a nice little flow of water right here, but upstream is horses and cows and pigs. And right up the hill, 8 children died from contaminated water here. This is just, I mean, there's so much here in Central America and in the poverty-stricken nations, it just touches your heart. It's endless.
Weena here lost her older brother, and a year later, her older sister, both of them victims of waterborne illness. I want to look at this water. I would never make a child drink this, but these children have no choice. It's this or nothing. It's not enough to tell them don't drink the water. We have to say, here's water you can drink.
This is my favorite, absolute favorite part of these trips. These people are going from death to life in just a moment's time.
Please help us. I know this would be a desire of your heart too, just as James and I do. We desire to pass on the blessings. We've been so mightily blessed ourselves, and we want to bless these families. So join with us, please, will you?
God, I want to thank you that we've been able to give those precious children a chance at life. Water for life. Because of the water of life. You know, when we watch that, Betty, right now we're drilling wells in 20 more nations, 350 this year. This is going to put us over 8,000. Mm-hmm. That's us. Mm-hmm. Betty, what do you want everybody watching to feel right now when they look and see that need and they see the contaminated water and then they see the joy of the water and know that somebody watching out here contribute sometimes? A person gives the entire well. Sometimes people give several wells because they're able to do it. But I'm telling you, when you know that this is what my gift did, it gave not only water for life, but we're going to share the water of life. What do you want these viewers to think right now?
When I see it, and I'm sure when you were watching, it was hard for you to, when our son lifted up that bottle of water, saying, I wouldn't offer this to my own children. I wouldn't either, and I'm sure you wouldn't. But to know that we can drill the wells and water spring forth, it's water of life. Do you understand that? We can make that difference. You and I have been there when that water would come up.
That's beautiful.
And the children just dancing around. They know what it means, too. Their mothers and dads know what it means. So please join with us. Let's drill some more wells. Let's see the water of life spring up literally to these children.
Well, you have been the ones that drill the wells. Betty and I, along with the missionaries, found the area of need. We knew from boreholes and from examination that there was water below the surface. We knew we could reach it, we could encase it, we could make it safe. We could give them a manual pump because they don't have reliable power in so many of the areas where they need water. And so we give them everything they need. And when I say we, that's what I mean. It's us. Do you know that every one of you can give water for life right now? Did you know that? Think about this, $48. We'll give 10 people water the rest of their life. Could you do that? $48. It makes such a difference. $144 will give 30 people water for life. But you know, we can drill a well for $4,800, and there are many of you watching who can do that. You can do it. Some may be able to do more than that. We have some gifts to send you that'll bless you, I promise you. Would you go right now and get your bank card and use it like a check? Should you write a check, make it to life. Get your bank card, dial that number, or go online and say, here's the gift God's leading me to give today. Please do it right now. And thank you so much. You're giving life.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for five children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the Life Prayer Journal, complete with customized art, scripture verses, and inspirational quotes from Life Today hosts and co-hosts. You'll find plenty of room to write down prayer requests, answered prayers, and your own personal reflections as you spend time with God. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessed Cutting Board, a beautiful addition to your kitchen and preparation area. This pine wood cutting board is custom engraved with the word blessed as a reminder of the daily provision of God in your life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our colorful bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, Betty and I want to say thank you for helping us drill those wells. We want to send you some gifts that I promise you will bless you. The beautiful cutting board, the blessed, will bless you. And the cardinals, I hope you'll give toward a well. If you can at that level, it'll be so beautiful. Thank you for giving the greatest gift, God's love and God's life. And the water for life is because of the water of life. If you'd like to have this incredible book by Laurie Short, we'll be glad to send it to you. I think these biblical insights, which you've already gotten a glimpse of them, you'll find throughout the book. It'll be a real blessing to you. And just know, Laurie, we're going to be praying for you and for your family and everybody you touch.
Thank you so much.
This book touches so many lives that you get to see the amazing effect of it.
Thank you so much
for the amazing effect we're showing you that your love is happening and will continue to have. Thank you from the bottom of our heart.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news from all of the outreaches of Life. Subscribe, follow, like, and get the Life Today social media experience.
How do you explain this stuff unless indeed it is true?
Lee Strobel shares his remarkable investigation into the afterlife tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.